Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Transform Now podcast. I'm Michael Marchuk.
And I'm Brad Hairston.
And this is our weekly pulse check of automation and AI news. Of course, before we jump into it, all the links for the articles that we'll be covering today are in the show notes, so you can check them out yourself. So, Brad, let's just jump right into the headlines this week.
Let's do it.
In a Nature.com article, the title of this article is Attributions Towards Artificial Agents in a Modified Moral Turing Test. Now, as you and I both know, the Turing tests are related to determining whether or not a computer is answering or a human is answering. If you can't tell the difference, then it's passed that test. Well, this is putting a different spin on it, putting a moral kind of viewpoint on it. So asking whether or not the answers generated by AI or the answers generated by a human to a particular question are more moral. And what they found, interestingly enough, is that the AI produced answers that were considered to be more moral than humans, which I thought was very interesting. So what are your thoughts on that?
More moral than humans. Wow. I guess, first of all, I'm not surprised because these Gen AI models are really, really, really good, really powerful. And you know, take ChatGPT. It's been visited over a billion times by over 150 million people. And so it is more than just a point of curiosity. I think people, as they learn more about it, they're starting to go to it for more reasons. They're applying it to their day-to-day lives in more ways. And so I can see how issues in the moral domain could come into play. It's a little disturbing though for me, because I think it's, you know, I would hope that people would have, first of all, have their own moral basis to make these kind of decisions, or they would have friends and family or spiritual advisors or other resources they could tap into to help them, versus going to AI to get advice in these matters. You know, these Gen AI models are trained on massive, massive amounts of data, largely in the public domain. And so you could see how by taking in all that data, you have opinions and you know, hypotheses that are all over the map on moral issues. So this could be kind of an average of those opinions. And so maybe you get kind of a happy medium. But that still doesn't make me feel better that, you know, people should go to a Gen AI to get advice on these topics. And so, whereas I understand it, it is a little troubling to me. But I understand why they are, because the more you use it, the more you understand that it can provide interesting feedback on just about any topic.
I would definitely agree with that. And as we see AI develop and being developed, it's maybe causing some other problems, which we're going to talk about in this next article from CNBC. AI engineers report burnouts and rushed rollouts as rat race to stay competitive is hitting the tech industry. So what they're basically saying is that these artificial intelligence engineers at these top tech companies is that they're finding a lot of pressure to roll out these tools to stay competitive and find themselves trying to be ahead of the competition. Not always to solve a problem, but mainly to appease the investors. And they're chasing OpenAI, as you mentioned earlier, being one of the leaders in this. And this is a pretty common theme now, that burnout in the engineering team for these AI platforms is becoming pretty common. What are your thoughts about that?
I think the article is spot on. The pressure from executive teams downward on their organizations is pretty consistent. And we've seen this when talking to customers, talking to prospects, talking to partners. No CEO wants to be perceived as being a laggard or a follower in when it comes to Gen AI. And so they're really pushing their organizations to act on this as fast as possible. They're asking for demos. They're asking for a proof of concepts. And sometimes that, you know, it is in advance of really having the use cases figured out or having some type of business case, compiled around improving a process, for example, with Gen AI. And so that does cause, that causes problems as well. But the burnout factor, I'm not at all surprised to hear that people in AI roles and automation roles are feeling the pressure, and they're working excess hours just to try to get this stuff going. We've had some interesting dialogue with customers who have come forward and said they want to do a pilot, and they've brought use cases forward, and we've helped them vet those use cases, and we've even found in some cases there are use cases that don't require Gen AI, but they could, digital labor could be applied to them to resolve it. But I think the interest in doing something with it is so high, and the pressure is so intense from executives that they're just looking for any way they can apply it so they can go back and show the higher ups, what they've done and kind of check the box. So I think this will calm down somewhat. I think, most companies and IDC is one of the analysts that has said, over 70% of companies have some kind of pilot or POC going. I think as we get a little bit, further in to this this new era, the pressure maybe will subside a little bit, and companies will get down to really figuring out what are the right use cases to automate and to improve with Gen AI. And ultimately, it's going to be the same business case rationalization that happens for any technology investment or process improvement. So I think it's still going to have to go through that justification. No one should be doing a Gen AI implementation just for the sake of doing Gen AI. That's a dead end road. But the good news is there's lots of ways they can use it that will drive benefits.
I think one of the pieces that you kind of touched on is that executives don't want to be perceived as laggards, not just for their own personal viewpoint, but as they report back to the boards, there's an intense amount of pressure for them to be seen as someone leading in their field. And what's interesting is that there is this pressure because everyone kind of senses that generative AI is a game-changing technology that we need to find out how to embrace, not just from a technological standpoint, but also from a personnel standpoint and an outcome standpoint. So I think you're right. As we start seeing this continue, there is this pressure, and I'm not sure it's going to let up anytime soon because the pace of change is so rapid.
Yeah. The board of directors are hearing that every single day. Gen AI. So it's reasonable that they would go to the leadership teams and say, what are we doing about Gen AI?
Exactly.
and there it begins. There's the pressure point.
So. Exactly. So it's not just organizations who are feeling this. It's even the leaders in the space that are. So our next article, we're coming from androidauthority.com. OpenAI may have a ChatGPT surprise planned just before Google I.O. 2024. So I'm not going to spoil the surprise myself, but Brad, what do you think the surprise could be?
This is very recent, as in yesterday, some news came out and it's been substantiated by some other reports that OpenAI is planning to release a ChatGPT search engine. And they're supposedly, we'll see if it happens, but supposedly they're going to make this official on the 13th of May, which is the day before Google will be announcing some things on their search engine. And I think they have an event planned. So the timing is, you can see some jockeying going on between two competitors. But I got to tell you, I'm excited and I can't wait to see what a Gen AI search engine looks like and how it functions. I mean, just the idea of using natural language to search and to see, how that can make the process more intuitive and more fluid, possibly even get rid of the ad-based driven search results that we know today from Google. But I, you know, I want to, one thing I was thinking about with regard to this article. So we're coming up on Mother's Day, right? This coming Sunday. So imagine going to a ChatGPT search engine and saying, I want to get something from my mother. I bought her a sweater last year and she really didn't like it. She really wants me to get innovative and she likes these kind of things. Boom, boom, boom. She also really is very very picky about food. So I can't get anything that's in the food genre, blah, blah. I mean, just literally having a conversation with Gen AI and then allowing that to return ideas and then actually point me to products and companies that have those products. I mean, to me, that's a big, you know, advancement in the whole area of search. And I would love to see that. I might be expecting too much from it, but that's kind of where my brain goes when I think about Gen AI combined with search. It's something like that. And I would be a fan of that if that's in fact how it's going to look.
I suppose this would be a kind of sea change from a search perspective, because as most people have seen, search, we all believe the search is free, but the fact is that search is being paid for by the advertisers that were presented every time we do that. And the data from our search and the things that we click on gets aggregated as part of who we are, as part of that search profile, to be able to serve us different ads over other platforms. So going into this ChatGPT model, I'm wondering how this will work from a cost perspective, because right now we go to google.com and type in our search and it's free. But again, paid for by advertisers. Will this ChatGPT search be part of your subscription so that you're still paying for it, but maybe in a different way? This time you're actually paying hard dollars for it. Instead of giving away your advertising information as part of the way that you're paying for a search. So it'll be interesting to see how they roll up the monetary and the commercial model for this.
Yeah, I would expect it would be part of a paid subscription to ChatGPT, for example, or some other Gen AI subscription. I wouldn't expect it to necessarily be thrown into the freebie version of ChatGPT, but we'll see. If they really want to crack the nut of Google that has, 90% of the search market, they're going to probably have to do something pretty dramatic. So, and I'm not sure Google is really thinking of this as a threat. They've had threats in the past and none of them have ever amounted to anything. But I got to believe this one, maybe they'll take a little bit more seriously. And so we'll see how next week evolves. It'll be really interesting to see if this in fact does get announced and then what Google's reaction is. I'm sure they're already working on a reaction to it. Since they're reading the same articles and news releases that we are.
They're feeling the same pressure. Steve. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you for your insights on the articles that we've seen this week. And again, if you haven't done it already, please subscribe and we will make sure that this way you get to hear all of our insights as soon as we release them.
Thank you for listening to Transform Now, the podcast from SS&C Blue Prism. You can find all of our episodes on your favorite podcast channel, as well as YouTube. To stay on top of the hottest topics in the world of intelligent automation, subscribe now. The future of work is here.